we're going to learn Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis of Mesach HaSukkah. We are already holding on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. We are at Amar Rav Yud Amar Rav. So we were in the middle of discussing what is kosher material to use for schach and what is pasul material to use for schach. Now, when making an arrow, there are two parts to the arrow. There's the pointy part of the arrow, and then there's the stick that sticks into the pointy part of the arrow, and you screw them both together, you put them both together, and they become a solid arrow. Now, the stick itself is just a flat, plain stick. The pointy part, though, has a receptacle. It has an opening within which you can put the stick. Very similar to like a broom. If you have one of those old big brooms, like those janitor brooms, where you have the part with the bristles, but on top of the area with the bristles, there's like a hole where you can put the broomstick. Now, the broomstick itself is just a stick, but the other part has a receptacle to put that broomstick. Now, the halach is something that has a base kibul that has a receptacle is considered to be a kli and is therefore mekabel tuma. And remember, the rule by schach is anything that's mekabel tuma is not kosher to use as schach. So the Gemara is going to discuss the two parts of the arrow, which one can be used as schach and which one cannot. So it's pretty predictable. In fact, the Gemara is going to say that it's pshita on both ends, but we start off with the statement. Amar Rav Yudam Rav, sicha b'chitzin zacharim, if you use the stick part of the, what we call the male part of the arrow, then ksheira, it's going to be kosher. But b'nekevos psula, if you use the receptacle part of the arrow, the pointy part that has an opening so that you could put the stick in, the female part of the arrow, that's going to be pasul. Says Amar zacharim ksheira pshita. Obviously, the male part's going to be kosher. What would be the problem with it? It's just a stick. Now, ma'u detema I might think we should make a gzeira not to use the zacharim part, lest you come to use the nekeva part. So that's why we have to be told that you are allowed to use it. Amarmar bin nekevos psula. Now, what about the other part? We said using the nekevos part is pasul. Pshita, isn't that also obvious that it's possible? So Gemara said, no. Ma'u detema beis kibul asur in the ma'alav so shmei kibul kamashmalan. I might think that that's not possible because it's a beis kibul that's meant to be filled once you stick the male part into it. And that's not called a beis kibul. The beis kibul is only a beis kibul if it could remain open. But this can never function if it remains open. The pointy part of the arrow is useless on its own. So I might think that any beis kibul that's meant to be totally filled is not considered a beis kibul kamashmalan. Yes, it is considered a base kibul, and therefore this is considered a kli, and this is possible to use for schach. Actually, let's make a main point over there. So main point number one is that the stick part of an arrow is kosher, and the stick part of an arrow is kosher, even though you might confuse it with the pointy part, and the pointy part is possible to use for schach, even though its base kibul is going to be filled. Amar Rav Aruchan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Sikha banitze pishtam psula. If a person covers covers a sukkah, he uses a schach, anitze pishtam, bundles of flax that are fully processed, then it's possible. But buhutzne pishtan ksheira, if he uses totally unprocessed flax, then it's going to be kosher. Buhushne pishtan en yodeh mahu. What if you have flax that's in the middle of the processing process? It's in the middle of the process of becoming usable. So what would halacha be? So he says, I don't know. That's a suffix. So if you have totally unprocessed flax, it's just stuff that grows from the ground. That's perfectly kosher schach. Totally processed is already no good. That's already something that's considered too much ready to be used as clothing, and that's going to be possible to use as schach. But partially processed, he's not sure. But not only that, even how to define what's called partially processed, meaning how far along do you have to be for it to be considered partially processed? V'hushni atzman eini yodea. I'm not even sure what hushni means. Manavshach, I daik v'lo nafitz, hushni karile. If you're going to say that when it's beaten but it hasn't yet been combed, that's partially processed, avultari v'lodayik hutzni karile. But maybe if it was only soaked, it wasn't even yet at the point where it was beaten, it was just soaked, maybe that's called unprocessed, then that would be kosher. Odil matar v'lo daiknami hushni karilei. Or maybe if it's soaked but is not yet beaten, Rabbi Yochanan would consider that already to be partially processed, even though it was only past stage one of the processing, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't even be sure about that. So the Gemara never goes back to answer that question. So we leave it as an unresolved issue, and therefore the poskim have to apply the normal klalei hapsak in how to deal with it. Is it a suffik daraisa that you go l'chumra? So that the poskim, most of the poskim say are makil when it comes to this. Could be because you have a cheskas kashrus, so until you take it out of its cheskas kashrus, till you know that it's been removed from its cheskas kashrus, because when it's unprocessed it's kosher, so it remains kosher, whatever the reasons are. So main point number two over here is going to be that unprocessed flax is kosher, processed flax is pasul, partially processed flax is a safek, and we're mesupak whether just soaked is called unprocessed or partially processed. Amr of Yehuda, hani shushi v'shav, sorry, misachin buhu. You're allowed to be misachich with certain types of inedible herbs, because you're not allowed to be misachich with meichel, with food, but this isn't edible, so it's not edible for humans, and therefore you're allowed to use it for schach. But Amr Abayi says, it's not enough, the fact that it's inedible. There's another concern over here. He says, b'shuche misachin, yeah, with shushi it's fine, but b'shav tzari, lo misachin, you cannot use shav tzari as schach. My timer, why can't you use shav tzari as schach? What's going to be the problem? Kivan desari, since it's so smelly, sari rechayu, since the smell is so strong, shavak levenafik, we're afraid that you're going to take one step into your sukkah, take a whiff of what that schach smells like, and you're going to walk right out. So you're not allowed to have a smelly sukkah. So that's the problem. It's almost like the literal dira srucha, the smelly dwelling. Amar of Chana Barava, hani hizmi vihigi, Misachin Behu. You're allowed to use hizmi vihigi, different types of branches and bushes for schach. Abai yomar behizmi misachin behigi lo misachinon. No, you can use one type of branch, but not the other for schach. Why? My taima kibin de nasri tarpayu shavik levenafik. Because these higi are things that the leaves fall off, and that's going to make it very difficult to live in the sukkah. So we're concerned that midrabanan. We're concerned that you're going to go and leave the sukkah. So last main point over here. Even though there are certain branches that are not mekabel tum and gidulim in aretz, you can't use them for schach when they're very smelly. According to Abaye, you can't use them for schach if they're very smelly, or if they shed leaves, then it's going to ruin your sukkah experience. And again, both of those is because of a gezeira that you might abandon the sukkah. I mean, they're not inherently pasul, but we're gozer that you might not stick it out. You might not want to stay in such a sukkah. So it sounds like midrabanan, you're not allowed to use these as schach. So that is daf yud beis amud beis. Bez Hashem, next time we'll pick up on yud gimel amud aleph at amar rav gidal amar rav.